Good morning. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. And thank Pastor Meyer for his second and final week with being with us. Pastor Bumps is scheduled to be back next week. This morning, our youth are serving us as ushers. So we thank them for their work. And I think that's all. If anybody has anything, nobody gave me anything before I got in here. No special things happening. Okay, let us sing.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord. And our text is the gospel lesson for today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it was a fantastic moment when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But what happened next? Well, how do you explain Peter's actions and words right after that confession? Peter takes Jesus aside and says, "You know, this is not going to happen. I don't believe it." And Jesus has to say, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking the things of God, but the things of men." Yeah, the things of men. What is that? Well, that's just the simple belief that things of men. What is that? Well, that's just the simple belief that, boy, as soon as I say Jesus is my Savior, that's the victory. Or just say I believe and everything will be fine. If that's true, why do we read in the Bible that there were over 5,000 people, well, men, not counting the women and children, who were following Jesus? They were amazed at his teaching. He miraculously fed them until they were satisfied with leftovers on five loaves of bread and two fish. And then in the upper room, after Jesus is resurrected, there's only 120 to count. In the beginning of Acts, how many followers do we start with? 120. Gathered with Jesus. How do you explain? Well, option one, that those who followed him just couldn't believe that Jesus was going to be arrested, suffered, and killed before he is raised, on the third day. Option two, they just stopped following Jesus because he was a failed missionary. Option three, Jesus' word and sacrament just didn't have enough power. Option four, those who said, Lord, Lord, didn't really mean it. Well, I gave you four options. There's a fifth one, none of the above. Faith created by God, the Holy Spirit is real. The confession of faith by believers is real. Word and sacrament have God's power. However, the way you and I live out our faith is often not consistent with everything that Jesus has taught us. We don't hold on to everything that Jesus has taught us. Just simply making a confession, I believe in Jesus, is not enough. God sends all of us out into the world. We have to live out the faith that Jesus teaches with family members at whatever school is this year, in the workplace, in the community. That's what it means to confess Christ, to live out the faith that we profess. You and I are faced with hard world realities. What seems so powerful, so clear, in the presence of Jesus here, gathered with his people, all of a sudden fades as you and I go out into the world and carry Christ with us. The saints of God march forward and soon experience the realities of life. All of us have needs. We have needs for money to live on, for friends, for spouses, for family. We have a need to love and be loved. And yet the ways of the world are so different than those of God. The streetwise know exactly how to get along. Sociology and psychology are out there telling you this is how you have a meaningful and a full life. And our emotions, boy, they often help us or seem to make us decide things that are in perfect step with our culture. And our culture applauds us if we follow them. Right down to you love whomever you love. Now, how does that fit in to what the Lord says? Well, it doesn't fit in. And so we ask, how can I fit God into what I believe? Wrong question. We need to ask, how do I fit into what God teaches, what God has given me, what God is making of me? God's teaching, morals, ethics, and values are just alien to our culture. And that easy accommodation that we once made with the world and our faith so that we could join the church just doesn't work. Like Peter, we often find ourselves not focused on the things of God. We focus on our thoughts, our feelings, our needs, and we think, that's what I believe. The call to biblical faith is the call to follow Christ, receive his gifts, hear his word, be sustained by his feeding. A Christian inspired by faith applies what Jesus teaches in all the realms of life. And that's so vitally important in an election year. The kingdom of power does not use the same methods as the kingdom of grace. In a democracy, we have to vote for the things that most line up with the things of God. That's what it means to be confessing Christ. Jesus clarifies that for us. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? You and I, we've taken up our cross. We did it in baptism when we were crucified with Christ. Jesus died for our sins. Our old nature was crucified with Christ. So every thought, word, and deed that raises our thoughts over God's word must be crucified. Everything that is not part of the things of God must be nailed to the cross. Jesus calls us in repentance to return to our baptism, to return to our public confession of faith, to return to the promises that you and I made before God and his people, and to reaffirm the promises that we made to our spouses. That is confessing Christ. Take up the cross and follow Jesus. As part of the line of saints marching in submission to Jesus, we look forward to the day Jesus reappears with his Father's glory and all the angels to receive the reward of confessing Christ, the crown of life. In Jesus' name, amen.